You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Bosh. Good evening and welcome to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. I almost called it the Leicester Fiesta podcast, which is a midweek bonus episode because we're so excited about the Norwich result. We felt we had to do another podcast, but Jake's bottled it, so he's not here. I think it got a bit much for him. Thanks for all your tweets abusing him. It's been very enjoyable, but I am joined by Jordan and Rick, who are with me this evening. Jordan, you were at the game last night, and you drove all the way to Norwich. How are you? How was it?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Drove there and back, and the rain on the way back was absolutely torrential, biblical rain. But we got back before 1 a.m, which wasn't a bad result. So I don't know how anyone fared getting back to Leicester. I heard it was a bit of a ropey journey back, but it doesn't matter when you've got 3 points in the bag. But yeah, I wasn't drinking, so it was all right. It's probably the first time I've been to a football match sober in quite a few years. So took a bit of getting used to. But yeah, it's good, mate. I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Good after that. A man who's very good for a couple of reasons. Ric Flair, good evening. Would you like to explain why?
Evening, gents. I don't know why. Because of Tete. Well,
yeah, because of Tete, yeah.
Well, no, I'm going to keep quiet about that. Just actions speak louder than words, and we'll see, won't we, in the end of the season when he's back and everyone's apologising to me. But no, I'm more impressed with our performance last night. It was, in some ways, I rate that victory more so than Friday night because Southampton had pits. And I thought last night we were defended brilliantly. Didn't create quite as much, but still enough. Towards the end of that second half, we could have got a few more if final pass had landed, etc. So, no, really impressed. And very impressed that Jordan drove there and back in light of him having the Garys for the last X amount of days and not shit himself. So, well done, pal.
Mate, honestly, I've had a diet this week of peppermint tea, which I'm drinking now, and Rennie's.
Classic combo.
It's been a brutal...
Rennie's is for heartburn, though, no?
That's the wrong thing. You needed Imodium.
Yeah. No, I've had a bit of Imodium, but Rennie's has got peppermint in as well. It's good for, like, indigestion, bloating. Okay. I've had a lot of bloating. Yeah, the last 4 days.
Who told you that, Dave Rennie?
Ain't he? He's at Bristol now, isn't he?
He is at Bristol.
He'll be back, won't he?
There you go.
On Saturday.
He is.
Brutal couple of days, unfortunately, but I feel a bit better now.
Good to hear,
because you're off to Berlin to run a marathon this weekend as well.
Yeah, so I'll fly out tomorrow night, fly to Hamburg, then get over to Berlin, and then go and see Union on Saturday against Hoffenheim, which we're looking forward to. Obviously, Jude broke the hearts last night in stoppage time, but I've been a bit unlucky this year with home games because I was in Latvia for the Coventry game. I was working for Hull, and now I miss Bristol City and the return of King Ian Pearson. So it's been a bit unlucky. But I did say to my dad, do you want to go to see Union? And he said, no, he's going to watch Leicester in a pub on his phone instead.
Is he coming out with you?
Yeah.
That's good.
And he doesn't want to go to the game with you, just going to sit in a pub.
Just sit in a pub and watch Leicester on his phone, which I commend. But yeah, the annoying thing is, obviously, I can't have a drink until after. So Friday, Saturday night, they'll be enjoying themselves, and I'll probably be in bed trying to get some sleep.
You'll make up for it on Sunday, I'm sure. And what we should do is we should plug a link to your charity, because you're running it for charity, aren't you?
Oh, please do. Yeah, running it for Mind. I think I'm on 60-odd% of what I raised, but because I only found out in July, I think. So it wasn't, not the most amount of notice. But yeah, running it for Mind. Ran one before in London. So I've been round before. So I hopefully can get around again a couple of years later.
Piece of piss. You'll smash it. Right. Anyway, back to the football. Yeah, it was really good, wasn't it? It's Norwich, I think, were a lot better than stronger side than Southampton going into the game. You know, their top scorers in the division. There's a lot of chat about Johnny Rowe and Gabriel Sara, but you know, I thought we for different reasons, probably to Southampton, I thought we gave a really good account of ourselves defensively. In particular, I thought we were really strong, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, I think we probably started slightly slower, but to be expected, they've won every game at home until last night. I think Hermanson made a decent stop. And then pretty much after the first 5-10 minutes, we seemed to be, not, I wouldn't say in command, but very comfortable. They didn't look like they were going to score. And we looked dangerous on the break again. I thought, Caste didn't have his finest game, but, he'll be fine this season and he'll play his part like he did against Cardiff. But the back four looked solid. Hamza was decent in that right-back position. Again, playing an inverted fullback coming inside. I was kind of loath to admit it at Southampton, but I thought Vestergaard was very good yesterday. We know what Doyle's capable of. And then, like I say, going forward, Casey's got a lot of pace. And the thing I love about him, he's so raw. You can tell, obviously, he's been coached to a level, but when it comes to professional football, it's like he's got the shackles are off and he can play as he likes. And that's really difficult to deal with if you're a defender. Obviously, Mavadidi's an absolute maverick on the other side, and I thought they were scared to death of him. And I thought Yunus picked up some nice little pockets as well. I thought first half we were pretty comfortable, got the goal at the right time. It was a Stonewall pen. They were whinging all game, they were, at the ref. I mean, Graham Scott is a bad ref. I think he dished out about 8 bookings for no reason yesterday, but it was a Stonewall pen. And then second half, yeah, they had 10-15 minute spell, again to be expected when they're losing at home. That save from Hermanson was absolutely fantastic, point blank range. Obviously, kind of made a mistake passing it through the thirds and the lad at the bar. It was a great effort, to be fair. I was looking not to score, but what was Hermanson? 4 million. I mean, he's looking better every game. It's almost like I feel like he could play in the 10. Or the 4, like everything literally goes through him. We get the ball, I think 3 times he rolled it up to Iheanacho through the middle of the pitch. And Kel, a couple of times he lost it, but it was a nice turn to get the centre-back booked. I mean, Hermanson looks like an absolute snip at that price. And then, as you said, Rick, towards the end of the game, I did feel like it was a matter of time before we got another one on the break. And when you're bringing KDH and Didi off the bench, it's pretty scary for other teams in this league. And fair play to Kiernan, because we were slightly critical of him after Kov, but Southampton, and last night he's played 2 phenomenal passes, and McAteer on the end of both of them, actually. And and fair play to him. He got both goals, you know, got goal at Southampton last night. So wouldn't say again a complete performance, but we just look so comfortable in both games. And if they were the acid test so far, if they're the best two sides, they can't be the best two sides of this league that we're going to play, surely, because we looked head and shoulders above them. I don't know, we've got Bristol City, who are decent, Preston coming up, Blackburn are going to be tough, but I said before the season, if we start quick, I think we'll piss it, and I just can't see anyone laying a glove on us, to be honest.
I'm enjoying your confidence. I think at the bit you talked about, I don't think you specifically said it, but almost like what gear we're in. I think after the game last night on the Sky coverage, they said if we were in gear two before, is that us in gear three? And it does feel, Rick, like we've got more gears to go through.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I think these last two games has definitely been a shift. I was obviously enjoying us winning four of the first five in the league and the other cup games, but I do feel like I was just not quite completely sort of sold on the way that we were dealing with teams that were sat back on us. Obviously, Southampton and Norwich haven't necessarily sat back. They've taken a lot of the possession as much as we have. But I've enjoyed both performances. Like, even last night, we didn't create that much in the first half, but I loved that first 45 minutes. Not once was I really that sort of like frustrated with anything. I know Iheanacho, his first touch in some of the spells, and Cassidy, you know, they obviously were a little bit scruffy, but we were getting hold of the ball. We were slowing it down, trying to invite them onto us. You know, for some of it was like a game of chess. You know, Hermansson, Vestergaard, Fass, etc. They were happy to hold on to the ball and see. And I didn't mind that per se, because then when we did get the ball and we did start to open up, we were trying to move it quick. You know, we've seen games and games in the Premier League where we were laboured and it didn't matter what was happening. We couldn't switch it up. So, yeah, I think we have stepped it up a gear. And it's just nice, isn't it, to see us take a step up in opposition with Southampton and Norwich and get 6 points. You know, it doesn't guarantee that we keep beating everyone, but it's that first sort of obstacle of perceived better class, and we've smashed them. And now we've got some home games coming up as well. Obviously, we lost to Hull, even though I thought we gave ourselves a fairly decent account of ourselves and should have scored at least one. Bristol won't be easy, but, you know, get a win at home again. And as George says, I'm not quite as utter belief that we will walk the league, but we're going to be amongst it. And, you know, it would take a serious sort of drop off or sort of toiling to not really be involved in the top two. So long may it continue. I mean, George nailed pretty much my assessment of individual players. I thought Hermansson was phenomenal. There was one mistake, but his use of the ball is so good, so much so that I'd spotted someone was tweeting his dad on Twitter last night. So I congratulated his dad for his son's passing ability.
Did he respond to you?
No, he's not actually, which a bit miffed about. But early days, I'll keep it up, and I'm sure I'll have some interaction with him at some point. But I was particularly impressed on the defensive side. Obviously, Vestergaard had another very good game. Can't fault that at all. I was particularly impressed with Doyle. I thought, obviously, he's had some very good moments this season. Wasn't so good against Southampton, and he was possibly at fault for the goal against Hull. But last night, he was unbelievable, both defensively and then some of his long-range passing. He was great. And yeah, throughout the team, there was a lot of individual performances. Great to see Hamza Chowdhury as well step in. You know, give him the captain's armband was a massive surprise, but it's those little things that Enzo's getting right. Doesn't matter what he does, he seems to be getting it right. And, you know, what that might do for Chowdhury and, you know, and just the team to see that happen and him come in and do it. And his pace is actually so underrated, Chowdhury's pace. You know, he did bail the defence out. And at this level, he is an asset. And that's even with me probably saying he needs to move on given his contract's up. But really impressed. And quite rare, isn't it, to feel the way that we're feeling after
It's really odd, isn't it? Because I almost think we've got nothing to moan about, and it's actually really, really enjoyable. Like, it's not really our forte, is it?
Well, this podcast was built on
on misery,
vitriol and misery. So, yeah. I'm worried that are we going to lose our edge? But we'll have to risk that with them doing the business.
Yeah, I don't know. I think one of the bits that I'm really enjoying this season is because I think there's a bit of a misconception about how we play, because I think everyone thinks it's all short 5-yard passing and we all play out through the back. I thought the bit I loved last night is it's not just that. We can be really direct. We can play out from the back. I think like Hermansson is just absolutely pivotal to that. Rick, I think you're absolutely spot on. I've been saying earlier, I think we had him last season. I think we would have stayed up. He's a really good shot stopper. I mean, and it's not just his sort of calmness on the ball. And, that does, I think we're all getting used to that. And, there's the odd mistakes going to happen with anyone, unless you're Harry Winks and you never give the ball away. But it was some of the, in the first half, he played two sort of 70-yard balls. One of them was straight to Mavadidi's feet, and the other one almost played Casey in. So
it did, didn't it? Yeah. He's got arrogance about him as well, hasn't he? He's got something about him that, I love him. He's just very good.
They were like, it was a great save. And he was like, it was a great save, wasn't it? And you're like, you've got to be quite good to get away with that. But
good-looking motherfucker as well, isn't he?
Exactly. And Jordan, I'm gonna ask you this question because I don't think you're quite over last season. But and we've been very critical of the decisions that were made last season and the stuff that went wrong. At what stage do we start to give credit? Because I think there have been some decisions they've got right. I think I go back to the piece I wrote in the Foss Way about the amount of turnover that the club needed to manage. I think getting Enzo in really early on is a really good move. Like, clearly, we need to talk about him as well. I think the amount of players they've got in, I'd never heard of Mavadidi, I'd never heard of Hermansson. We both bought them for less than £5 million. They look, they look like players that could really step up. So I guess my question is, at what stage do we almost, I guess it's not forgive, but start to give some credit to the decision makers in the at the helm?
Yeah, honestly, I was saying the same thing last night, that I said at some point I'm going to have to enjoy myself winning games every week. And, I know it's only against the likes of the teams we've played, but we're going to have to enjoy this season, because we might end up next season back in the Prem and the monotony of trying to stay up and getting beat every week against some of the sides that are in there. And not only that, the football that we're playing is absolutely fantastic. And I did say earlier in the season that from what I'd seen so far, I didn't think it was too different from Brendan's impact when he came in. But after that defeat to Hull, the last two performances, you can clearly see that Enzo's work with Pep. And I watched Burnley the other night at Forest, and a very similar style of play. Always, not always, but going back to the keeper so often. And like Rick said, it almost like a game of chess where, the keeper can have the ball. The two centre-backs peel wide. It looks to me like the centre midfielders almost get out of the way for the goalkeeper, who's like a quarterback almost. It's like he's a third centre-back or fourth centre-back these days with how we play. And then Enzo's doing a terrific job, and you have to credit Rudkin and Whelan and Top for getting him in early, getting Barnes and Madison out the door and getting rid of Tielemans and a few others. And like you say, I think Hermansson, he looks to me like he can definitely step up. I mean, he's going to make mistakes. We're going to concede a few goals, but he's going to be worth 10, 12 points easily this season. And if we'd had him last season, who knows? Do you know what I mean? Like, we could easily have stayed up with a keeper of that calibre. It seems to me like he's Premier League level already. Mavadidi, I'm just so excited about. I know he's, like I say, he's a bit of a maverick, and off the ball he can labour a little bit, but he just looks so dangerous when he gets the ball. And I think there's room for improvement there. Cody's not even played a minute yet. And I don't know how he's going to get into the team, because the back four three or four is starting to look pretty settled. So we've got to enjoy it. And like you say, we've got to give credit to the, you know, the hierarchy for bringing Enzo in and doing the business that they've done. It's only fair. You know, we've sang their praises when we won the league and won the cup and got in Europe, criticised them when we got relegated, and we should rightfully praise them now. But yeah, like I said last night, I'm going to have to start enjoying it sooner or later, especially with no VAR. That is an absolute blessing. But yeah, I'm still a bit frustrated with last season. I feel like, you know, we should win this league at a canter, but that shouldn't stop us enjoying it. And, you know, I've not even mentioned Winksy last night was just a complete level above anyone else on the pitch, absolutely head and shoulders, and as he has been most games. But, you know, I joked earlier at work, he said, oh, 100% pass rate, 83 passes, and he's not give the ball away. And someone said, oh, backwards and sideways. And I thought, well, in this system, it doesn't matter, does it? He's getting the ball off the keeper, giving it in back or giving it to the centre-backs. And as soon as we break the press, we're away. And it did make me laugh towards the end of the game where I think he carried it 30, 40 yards. He was either bollocks or he had a nosebleed because he turned back around and passed it. And I'd just like to see him add some goals to his game. But yeah, I think you're right, Jack. I think we should definitely give credit where it's due.
And yeah, I think you used the word enjoy about five or six times, which I enjoyed. But something I know Rick will have enjoyed is, and I saw Jordan Blackwell tweet about this earlier today, I think that's the youngest side we've played in the league since a very long time. I can't remember specifically, but I know how much you enjoy sort of... I'm going to be careful what I say here because it's going to sound a bit dodgy, but
I know. Yeah, I know,
you enjoy youth. You enjoy youth.
I like young football players coming through our football team and adding value. But again, it's probably easier to do it at Championship level, isn't it, than Premier League? So I do understand you can't just keep throwing academy players in or maybe, you know, unproven players, but Maresca feels to me like he's willing to do that. You know, his articles, he name-checked Wanya after the weekend, even though we dropped out, to say that, you know, he's the one that's perhaps made way, but that doesn't mean that he's, you know, he's cast aside. He's still very much involved and, you know, he scored goals for the academy again. And he's name-checked again Alves and Braybrook coming back from injury. So Maresca's very much invested in developing the academy, which is music to, I think, our ears, because it's one way of getting, you know, you need to increase value. It's the way, I know George talks about, you know, it can sometimes be a bit desolate trying to compete with the elite, because you're just waiting to make mistakes from when you've bought players through, sold them for a profit and then reinvest. But it is the model, and certainly from the academy. So yeah, very good. I think going back to saying about it's frustrating that we got relegated, it is, and you know, I don't think I can forgive and forget ever because where we came from, but I can also acknowledge where they have attempted to correct the mistakes, and it looks like they have so far. I mean, it's still early days in that regard, but you know, it does look like we've recognised trying to get value for money again. Although, you know, it might have taken time to get certain players in the summer, we were probably doing that based on trying to get them at a certain price rather than overpaying, probably overcommitting on wages. So fair play in that regard. And yeah, Mavadidi's one who I'm fascinated to see. I'm still gutted that we've lost Barnes, and that was a consequence of getting relegated. I don't know whether Barnes would have gone if we'd stayed up. Madison was always going, but Barnes is probably the one that may have stayed. So Mavadidi may, well, I don't think he's that level, but could he be? Same age, needs to sharpen up on his finishing. But I love his directness. And although he does at times seem like he might not care off the ball, at other times he's getting stuck in. And I think he's going to be one of those players that he gets an unfair rep for his sort of attitude, when actually I think he's a, you know, he's a solid team player. So, yeah. All good. I think the only sort of minor negative is the fact that Jake's absent, and you know, maybe he's not enjoying it quite as much as us three boys. But you know, we'll let him defend himself or when we do the weekends one.
We have had so many messages about Jake. It has been great for us because it's really amusing, but not great for Jake. So we'll let him explain where he is. So there we are. And you didn't even mention my new favourite player, Fatawu, who again just came on. At one point, he sort of half lost the ball and then just belted it against their player, which I just really enjoyed. He's just chaos.
He's chaos, but he's also, like, he almost knows what he's doing. Like, there's a definite assuredness to his game. I don't think we're yet convinced that he knows what he's doing completely, but he makes things happen. He obviously was playing on the left last night as opposed to the right, and still, you know, I think arguably should have had an assist because McAteer missed, you know, 5 minutes before he had a similar openish goal. He had a free header, which, you know, would have been five goals for him in six games and would have been a nice assist for Fatawu. But, you know, he's contributing. I think he can't be far off a start soon. McAteer's probably going to need to be rested, whether that's the weekend or at least against Liverpool in the week. Looking forward to seeing what he could do. I do think we are going to get end product from him. I don't think he's going to be one of those players that doesn't do a lot for us. And I know the option price on him seems to still be quite high. It's about 17 million euros. But I don't know, if we get promoted, that's he does look like a player that's got a hell of a lot of potential, doesn't he? And I'd chance that if he carries on the way he is.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, no, I agree. Very enjoyable. That's the summary. Anything else on Norwich? Should we do some dear Ric Flairs? Or Jordan, you've got something?
Well, I was just thinking with Fatawu. I think Rick's right. He's going to have to replace McAteer, but obviously McAteer's been brilliant. But I was just thinking a front three of Fatawu, Mavididi and Iheanacho is just going to be carnage. Can you imagine being in midfield and giving them three the ball, well, one of them three the ball? You wouldn't have a clue what's going to go on next.
They're
playing against them.
Iheanacho for half an hour, first half an hour, he was dreadful last night.
Really.
His first touch was just bouncing off him. And then classic him, manages to turn Duffy. And actually, I think I don't think it's really been commented on, but as soon as Duffy got booked and then Gibson got booked a few minutes later, you could just see they just backed off and they weren't quite as sharp with their pressing, and it just changed the game. But took his penalty well, and I love the dance.
Nice dancing.
I think everyone that needs to stay. Like, we need everyone doing the dance when he scores again. Can you imagine the whole with the King Power doing that?
Wilf's laugh cracked me up because
Kel
will do it after. I mean, obviously, I know I've criticised Kel in the past, but he'll do that. You know, he'll do that Cruyff turn out of nowhere and get a player booked, and then the easiest first touch, he'll be asleep, and the centre back will just nip in. But when he scored, I just loved the sheer. I don't know if it's arrogance or just he's just so thick, he doesn't know what's going on.
I don't think he knows what's going on. Have you seen the interview where they ask him about the Roman Empire?
Yeah, I was about to say that. I was howling last night at that.
And the commentary. The commentary of Ricky.
The commentary
of
Ricardo. He's unreal. I mean, that's it. When he goes, and, you know, whether we miss him on the football side of things, but what the laughs he's brought, when he did the A Up Me Ode as well ages ago, and even the Xmas Chopping, which I don't think he's meant to do. He's just, he's box office.
His favourite film? Mr Bean.
That'd be a good conversation between them two.
I hope they do a Q&A with Ian Atcher, just so we can ask him if he wants to go narrowboating with Rick.
So what I was about to say there, I know you're going to announce a couple of things on this pod tonight, but the one where in February, you know, he should be on stage, Ian Atcher, because he could get up and do a turn as a comedian and he'd bring the house down. He's unreal.
Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of who's unreal, should we do some Dear Ric Flairs?
Always.
Go on, mate. I need somebody help,
not just anybody help. You know I need someone. Ric Flair.
That was meant to fade out, but it didn't. It's hard this presenting, Lark. Superb. Right, we've had one sent in again, and we've had a voice note, Rick, from L Emblem Fox on Twitter. Due to technical difficulties, I'm going to attempt to play this out my phone. So you boys are going to have to tell me if the audio quality is any good. Okay.
Always great listening to you every week. Dear Ric Flair, I tweeted you earlier this week, Rick, asking if you had a nickname for Maladidi, and you came back with MD 2020, which I thought was a good shout. But my question now is, on the same topic as nicknames, did you experience any funny nicknames when you were growing up in school, whether it was about you or other people? The reason I ask is after speaking to you about nicknames on Twitter, some memories came back to me from when I was at school. We had a lad in our form at school called John West, so obviously his nickname was Tuna. Obviously, what else? We also used to know someone called Tony who we used to call Tony Two Carpets, because he used to waddle when he walked, so it looked like he was carrying a carpet under each arm, so that was his nickname. And then as well, there were two twin brothers at school called Mark and David, and we used to call them Postie or Posties, because they were that bad at football. Like on lunch break when we played, they would just be used as goalposts. So this isn't, you know, rubbish, by the way. This is actually true. These are real nicknames. So I feel like everyone's got funny stories about nicknames when they were growing up. So lads, if you've got a good one, I look forward to hearing it on the next pod. Cheers, lads.
There we go. Rick.
Wow. I like that. So just want to disclose the MD 2020, although I came up with that when we were talking about that drink, I think it was actually one of you boys that nicknamed that for Mavididi. So I just wanted to disclose I wasn't pinching that. I know, George, there was a picture of Brendan Rodgers that I put on the BLSB Twitter. So just giving people credit. So nicknames, I mean, oh, God.
Nicknames are bad names.
At least start with him. Nathan's a good name. I'm trying to think. At school, this is a bit bad, actually. There was a lad and he had the worst dandruff ever. And everyone used to call him Dandead, which obviously is self-explanatory, and he didn't used to appreciate that. He used to get very aggressive. He wasn't actually. What was his name? His name was Andrew. But anyway, beside the point. I tell you what, I have got a good story. Very random. I've got a hell of a lot of nicknames. But one of them that my brother and all of his mates call me is Clack. Yeah, Clack as in clack, like a chicken. And it originates from, and I wasn't part of this, but years ago, a few of my mates, they rang up one of the lads we went to school with, dad, and pretended to be from Fosway Radio, and that he was live on air, and if he could cluck as many times as he could in a minute, that he would win a free KFC, and he'd needed to go down to KFC to collect it, right? So he's there, and he's going, clack, 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 am I doing any good? And my mates were, like, pissing themselves in the background. Yeah, brilliant, okay. If you, Jim, if you just go down to the local KFC, you collect your meal. So that's obviously an amazing story that my mates told me about. And then years later, I told my brother about it. And he loved it. And then because I've told my brother that story, I'm now called Clack. Years later, I'm 40 years old now. I'm 40 years old and I'm still called Clack by him and all of his mates. So there you go.
Superb.
Missed
Superb. That's unbelievable. There's this YouTube clip with all, I think it's in the New Zealand radio show. I don't know if you've seen it, but they do all kind, like they do all kinds of nicknames. Like my favorite one from that is a guy called Keith who lost his eye. So they call him Keth.
Yes, I think I have seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. You should, let's find that. We'll dig it out.
And it's funny, I was having this conversation with someone at work yesterday and they were talking about their kids at school. Apparently their kid's really tall and he's called Ben, so they call him Ben Nevis. And then the other kid's called Tom and he's got really long arms, so they call him Orangutan.
Very good.
Which I enjoy. Do you have any nicknames, George?
Unfortunately, mate, I'm a bit like Alan Massey off Mike Bassett. Why can't I have a nickname? And I've never had one. I tried to get a few off the ground when I was younger, like Flash went down terribly. Everyone just calls me Joy or Nord.
I don't think you can do your own nicknames, though, can you, pal?
I get Nord because apparently I've got a big nose. And it's not
Nord.
Well, no. There is one person who gave himself a nickname, Paul Ince, didn't he? Gave himself the governor. So you should take the shirt off and put it on. Yeah. Well, need we say any more?
Yeah. I was listening to a pod earlier today, and apparently when it's on the Monday Owl podcast, which is my new favourite thing, but apparently when Laurent Blanc went to Man U, they thought it was too complicated a name to pronounce, so they just called him Larry White.
That's very good.
They've started calling Michael Appleton is apparently too long for Charlton fans, so they've just started calling him Mickey Apples.
Not to his face, not because I'm scared of him.
Not to his face, not because he's scared of him. But no, there we go. Very good.
Wicked.
I don't actually know L's name, but thank you to L, Logo of a Fox, on Twitter for that. Very, very good. Great to get the voice notes in. We've actually... we've got two things that we were going to do. Got some questions on Twitter.
Ooh.
So I was going to read them, get a few of them out. We won't be able to do all of them. And then do a little bit of the Bristol City game and the return of King Nigel. So we'll kick off with the questions. These are quite good, actually. It's from the aptly named Machiavellian Fox. He starts the note with commiserations to Jake Watson and then a picture of a tractor, carrot, a canary, and also shit. So, brilliant. Saying Rick needs to give Norwich the Scotch egg treatment. He's got a series of questions, actually. First one is, when we win the league, can he join the canal boat party?
What's he going to bring, though? He needs to bring something, so... You know, there's an entry fee.
Can he bring Harry Winks?
Yeah, can he bring Winks or at least like a bag of cans or something?
You got to bring something to the party, basically. Everyone's invited, but you got to bring something unique.
Yeah, some spaghetti hoops.
Okay. The second question is also a very good question because it references something that I very much enjoyed, which was Nacho's celebration last night. Three best ever Leicester City celebrations. What are they?
Ooh. I mean, Cambiasso against QPR was a good one. The bow.
The bow. Yeah, recreated by Cassidy.
I did like Muzzy Izzet's against Tottenham when he scored that volley.
We just ran off.
He runs off so quickly that his head's sort of behind him. I watched that the other day, and he had little legs.
And Taggart had a good one, didn't he, with his arm. Was that against? That was in Europe. I can't remember who it was against.
Was that against? That wasn't against Red Star, was it?
Red Star. Yeah, it was Red Star.
Well, he scored again.
I can't remember.
Was it where he sort of like went like that?
Oh, yeah, he did that.
Steve Howard at home to Leeds was a good one.
That was very good.
That was just the Shearer.
Yeah, but Howard in it.
Yeah,
I watched that in a internet cafe in Thailand, and I splattered the entire place with lager when it went in, and it wasn't very popular. I think I broke a few keyboards, but I tell you another good celebration. Was it when we'd been labelled boring? Was it John Gregory and Elliot scored against them? Sort of like all pretended to get sleep. He sort of ran backwards after score. He was sort of like, it was one of the best headers I've ever seen, because he was running backwards as he headed it and then just carried on running backwards. And then Gary Coatsworth scored an absolute screamer against Luton in about 1993 or 4. I remember his celebration was particularly wild, probably because he probably couldn't believe he'd scored. He always fascinated me because he had a goatee beard on his forehead. If you can find any pictures of him back then, like obviously his hair was falling out, but he managed to sort of maintain this lovely, like low sort of hairline and then nothing else. So it looked like he sort of finally coiffed a goatee beard on his forehead. But I can't think of any recent ones that are any good.
You've got to have Walshy and Claridge in there from the playoff finals. They're just so iconic, aren't they?
Oh, where Walsh is sort of like slobbering on Martin O'Neill's face, isn't he? Like you see him afterwards, he's glistening with slobber. But yeah, I prefer the old days for iconic celebrations.
I'm surprised there's been no Vardy ones in there. But
true. Could have a whole loads catalogue of them.
Do you remember Gallagher first game? Pearson came back in his second spell. He scored like two. I think it was against Palace. I think he scored
Palace,
two screamers. Second one, he scored, I think it was a free kick, and he ran round and he just belted the ball like straight into, like actually into Rose Edge. It was like just straight up. That was phenomenal, actually. And that's not even part of the celebration. I mean, the Eagle at Palace has got to be up there, surely. Surely.
Yeah. Eagle was unreal. And was it Wolves where Tom they got smelly breath? That was last season when we beat him 4-0 at their gaff. He's always good for a celebration, Vardy.
Any West Brom celebration. I mean, the one when we stayed up, the Great Escape, that was
awesome. Yeah. Chef Yu, where he goes and cups his ears.
Yeah. The Man United one, obviously, again.
Yeah, there's some iconic there. Right, what are you going for top three then?
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Top. So you got to go in reverse order, do you reckon?
Yeah.
I'll go Claridge third, just for nostalgia.
Like it.
Yeah.
Palace. You kind of got to have when you like iconic moments when you win something, I suppose.
Oh, do you know another one I'll throw in? And this is actually VAR because I hate it. But when Nacho scored against Everton.
That was
good.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's top three though, but.
Underrated one was Ojoa against West Ham when he scored the penalty.
Yeah.
That was
underrated. Yeah, that was a big one. Tielemans in the FA Cup final. I mean, it was very good celebration. But Perez's knee slide when he hadn't scored were always particularly enjoyable.
Yeah.
I think you should only be allowed to do a knee slide if you scored the goal.
Well, do you remember Riyad's when he scored that won the goal at Man City?
Oh, he did it all the time, didn't he?
It was like, he didn't get the purchase, did he? It sort of snagged and did a roll over. Knockhart must have had some good celebrations from goals. He was always...
He scored one against Sheffield Wednesday and then knee slid in front of the opposition manager just the game before we were about to get promoted. But not because he was taking the piss out of the manager, but because he wanted to wave at his girlfriend. I mean, in terms of his celebration, Nigel Pearson's having a party at the end of season awards was fantastic.
Well, yeah, then you've got Vardy's party when we won the league. Does that count as a? It's got
no,
to be a goal
count.
Celebration.
No, I think it's got to be a goal.
Well, maybe we put it out. Maybe we put it out.
Maybe put it out
on the old Twitter. Because I can't, really decide what I think would be the best ever Leicester celebration.
I enjoyed Slimani. Was it against Porto? Because he always scored against them.
The Dragons
for Sporting. Yeah, he was always. I don't know whether it's in my tie. It's a hard one. This I'd rather just have thrown a load out and let other people.
Yeah, this could be an ongoing feature. This I like this.
Mm. All Brighton against Bruges.
Yeah.
Got me in there.
Although I don't really like knee slides where you end up on your back. Just think it looks like you didn't score many goals. But anyway, moment was very good. I think this could be an ongoing one.
Well, I can't decide. So
could be a combination of your top four idea and my goal idea, and we each talk through one every episode or something. I don't know. Might be shit. Might be good. All right. Well, they were good questions, actually. Thank you very much, Machiavelli and Fox, for that. Should I do the announcement now? Should I do that before we talk about Bristol City?
Let's do it.
It's not really an announcement, apart from it's sort of a teaser to an announcement. But we're very close to sorting a December live quiz. So. It's looking like it's going to be the 2nd of December, which is when we play West Brom away. But it's only about an hour and a bit to get back to Leicester. And there is also the possibility that it may be moved to the TV. So we will make allowances for that. But somewhere in Leicester, once we have signed on the dotted line, we will announce that. And we're going to do that in association with the charity, which I will also announce when they let me. So that's one thing to keep your eyes out for. And the second one is also, I would say hilarious, but it's a bit of a pun in the sense that we've been asked to appear at Leicester Comedy Festival, which we've said yes to. So we need to find a date for that. I'm not quite sure we ever categorised this podcast as comedy. I don't know whether they're referring to our football team or the content within it, but we're very pleased to have been asked to do that. So that's in February, I think, where we'll be relying on Rick largely for laughs and humour. Although you could get Ian Atcho along to come on stage with you. I think that could be the biggest comedy going.
I think we try and get Lembit Opik because he did a turn, didn't he? He turned to comedy very briefly. And he's a Leicester fan. And he might bring the cheeky girls with him.
Yeah.
So, if
Can
not,
imagine
Keith Vaz.
Show meeting the cheeky girls.
I think we've already got the ball rolling here. This is how we would brainstorm. We're just doing it out loud.
Doing it on air.
Where were the cheeky girls from? Was it Romania?
Romania, I think, yeah.
There you go. Okay.
I'll send them a tweet. I'll tweet from our Big Strong Leicester Boys account. See if which
don't
apology
do that.
Apologies
can
for anyone caught in the crossfires on Tuesday night.
Do you want to explain what happened on Tuesday night, actually?
Apologies about that, sir.
Well, the high winds that everyone experienced on Tuesday meant that the trains were pure chaos. So I was stuck at Euston and I had a skimful, as I always usually am. So I was in no man's land and I was waiting for a train. I checked my card. Yes, I spent 28 quid in Burger King as well, which don't recall doing that. But anyway, yeah, and so I just went off on one, a few tweets here and there. Asked Pussy Man Dan whether he'd rather be called Keish Chegwin or Pussy Man Flan. On one of the tweets, which he said he'd rather be called Dan or Daniel.
Daniel, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Pussy Man Daniel last night gave me two season tickets. And fortunately, I managed to find the recipient of those season tickets in the ground. I don't know why he gave them me, so I need to ask him. So it's a call to Dan. Why did he give me two season tickets?
He's on holiday in Benidorm, Dan.
Yeah, it's got to be something like that. I'm also not there, so yeah. Fortunately, we got away with it. But I'd like to know his reasoning. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be an obscene reason.
Apologies for last night. So
there we go, Rick. There we go.
There we go.
We need to track down Dan, find out what whose season tickets he's pinched, and commend Jordan for being a good Samaritan. But yeah, we changed the password now, mate, so you can't get on there.
Well, I've been on there today, so that's rubbish.
Well,
I just can't
wrong.
Log out.
You
so
can't log out.
I can't log out.
Ever.
So
ever. And actually, if you do that again, I'm banning you from Who Are You for 5 games. So
see, you literally coming up with the pettiest things to try and ban me from Who Are You.
Yeah. And?
No. No. Well, if anything, I should have been praised for getting it so quick last week. People have said I spoilt it because I got it too quick. I mean, what do you want me to do?
Well, as a result of that, we're not going to play Who Are You tonight, Rick, because you ruined
in
it.
In protest.
You ruined it.
I mean, not that I like to sort of, I know we joke at Jord, but otherwise me or you are playing against ourselves. I know Jord could be the quiz.
No, we just call it a quiz. We call it a quiz.
I'm still fascinated by that.
Bring it on. We'll see.
Let's
see in December.
Let's call it a quiz and see if he can. I think he might. He might be right.
Yeah, I've got one in the Suez Canal at the minute.
Yeah.
That's Jack's.
Well, the question is going to be about war.
Mungo Jerry.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't like The Office, you won't have got any of that. But there we go. Cool. Should we talk about Bristol City a little bit before we wrap up?
I suppose we better.
Yeah. Thoughts? Better game, Rick?
I'm going to be a bit controversial. It pisses me off how much people still love Nigel Pearson. It's like people can't bring themselves to like any other manager. We want to win on Saturday, but some of the adulation I'm reading about, it's almost as if they would rather them win because of what Nigel Pearson means to them, which, yeah, he obviously did very well for us, and I'll respect that. I'm not going to try and claim otherwise. But, yeah, it's been, like, get over it, almost. And I don't know, maybe I'm going to get shit for that, but, I mean, I hope we absolutely batter him, and I hope he hates it, and, you know, I hope we ruin his weekend, ruin his whole season. Fuck him. But yeah, thanks for the memories, Nigel. Now I do. I just don't know. There's something been winding me up about. There's nostalgia about Pearson. He's God in some eyes, and I get it within reason. But no, come on. Get a bit of vitriol back in your lives rather than, you know, he ain't here anymore.
You just know that the crowd, it's all going to be nice before kickoff until he starts going off about something or strangling Fatubu, and then it will change, won't it, George?
Well, yeah, I'm with Rick on this one. I have been for quite a while. I mean, he did a wonderful job in getting us up from League One, obviously getting us back into the Premier League. What really grinds me with Pearson is people don't actually realise that he is a Championship football manager and not a Premier League manager. I mean, we stayed up pretty much by a bit of a fluke, really. I mean, if what's to be believed is that two players basically called a meeting and said, we need to play 3-5-2 now. So we did. I think we forget in that Premier League season, he played Nugent. I'm sure Nugent was right wing at one point. Vardy and Mahrez were on the bench. And apparently Pearson is the man that won us the league. I mean, that's just a complete fallacy. It's just completely not true. Like, he obviously laid the foundations to get us in the Premier League, but had he not been sacked in quite ridiculous circumstances, we would have finished possibly in the bottom three the following season, or certainly in the bottom half, I would have thought. And even last season, people saying, get Pearson back. Yeah, great, get him back. If you want to finish 12th in the Championship, like Bristol City will do this season. So, yeah, I'm with Rick. Move on completely. Great manager for the time. But on, you know, there's no room for sentiment in football. I hope Saturday is a horrible day for him, Kingy, Matty James. We rip them to pieces, and they, you know, they're a fantastic player for us, Kingy. But I have a miserable time, and they realise how good we are this season. So we might get shot down for that, Rick. But I'm with you. I'm with you, mate.
But the reason why I say that as well is we talked about as a football club we were too nice last season. Now, okay, it was gobbing off like we've just done there. Makes no difference in that. But there is a little bit about that, isn't it? That we, as an attitude, I feel like Maresca has got that single-mindedness and sort of arrogance, but can back it up. We need to be a nasty bit of work. And welcoming Pearson back on Saturday and, you know, making a big song and dance out of it is not the way to go about it if we want a win. We, you know, get the win, then not that he'll care about us then being respectful to him and all, you know, all nostalgic. But, yeah, fantastic for us. And he did build the foundations. It was what he did with some of the staff, some of the things he did. Unbelievable. But, you know, water under the bridge.
Yeah, give him his round of applause before the game, and then that's it. Job done.
Give him a howl. I like it. I think we should clip that because it'll do numbers.
Starting to sound like the second tier pod, mate.
No, I know. That's what it's all about. Hits. Say that as we're doing our second podcast in a week. I think I'm with you, actually. I think he was a great manager, but he's got a ceiling, hasn't he? And the work he did at the club was unbelievable. And we owe him a lot. We owe Kingy a lot. You know, Matty James is back, Dave Rennie's back, but I think we're, you know, hopefully it feels like Enzo's building towards something as well. And it's about the future, not really about what's in the past, I think.
Agreed.
Yeah.
You're about to say something, Rick. You look like you had something on the tip of your tongue.
I was going to say the thing with what Pearson did very well, I've read it a lot. He's very invested in sports science. And I think he learned that actually weirdly when he was with Allardyce at Newcastle. I'm sure I've read that somewhere. But, you know, the brains behind that was Paul Balsam. If you read Jonathan Norcroft's book, he interviews Paul Balsam, and I've followed him ever since. And sadly, he's not with Leicester anymore. But, you know, Pearson was instrumental in bringing him here, and he helped build the, you know, never got any injuries, did we? And then under Ranieri, etc. I totally respect what Pearson did for us. He laid everything. We were shit for so long until he came and then came back again. So, you know, I know I've just gobbed off, but it's not because of a lack of respect for the man. It's just, you know, he'll want to beat us so desperately on Saturday. I know he will. So, we're going to not let him, and we're going to give him a dose, and off he goes.
I think, I mean, I've completely respect and I like the man. And I think he's actually, after the Leicester, the second job he had with us, I think he's learned a lot from that. He seems to have mellowed an awful lot compared to what it was like. I mean, the pressure he was under in the Prem seemed to get to him. And he seems to have mellowed a lot, and I do like him. But I think it's not necessarily him that irks me. It's how some of our fans still think he's the answer going forward. And like Jack just said, let's look forward and not back. And I mean, I'm not saying that people saying he's the answer this season, but when managers have been sacked in the last couple of years, people have said, get Pearson back. And it's just absolutely not. It's just not the way to go. And like Jack says, he has completely got a ceiling. And for a team like Bristol City, spot on. He's been there a while. He's done a good job. And I'm sure there'll be a fairly dangerous side on Saturday. But I think that's the thing that irks me more than anything, really. It's not Pearson himself, because I'm full of respect for him and I like him and the job that he did. And some of the voice notes from press conferences are immortal. So hopefully there's one on Saturday and he's got the arse because he's lost.
Good. I just thinking on when you were talking about that, I was thinking about Enzo and actually just about the little things he's done. Like there's a few bits like he doesn't tell the players the team until an hour or whatever, 2 hours before kickoff. That's why it's not leaking at the moment. And like just some of his honesty in press conferences, I absolutely love. Like I think he was asked last night. It was like, oh, you've made 5 changes, like how the players react to that. And he was like, I don't know. Like, he didn't say it like that. But he's just very straight and very honest. Like, he's got an agenda, but his agenda is winning football games. Like, he doesn't really care about anything like that. And that's it's pretty refreshing given where we've been.
Yeah, I read that earlier as well and was very surprised. You know, you would have thought that they'd work on it. I know we did under Rodgers and perhaps Smith. They would know the team and they'd work on that the day before in training. But, you know, maybe there is something in it. If they're all collectively, you know, invested into it and there is no first 11 and then everyone else is fighting for it. If you're all involved, then, you know, you've got to maintain standards because you could legitimately be picked or not. It makes sense to me. And whilst they're all bought into it, I think it'll reap the rewards. But everything he's doing at the minute is working. You know, I'm sure there'll be times when it doesn't. It'll be fascinating to see what he does. But there's an assuredness there, which bearing in mind he's got very little experience bar, you know, winning the PL2 a few years ago for Man City and a 13-game stint at Parma that didn't go very well. I know, obviously, you know, you've got to get off to a good start, which he has done here. But he just seems so, he doesn't seem like he's lacking in any decision making, which can't be easy when you're thrown into it. However much you might back yourself, he's just making those decisions and it's working. So, you know, fantastic. We needed to strike gold, and so far it looks that way. And let's hope that it continues.
Good stuff. Right, we're at the any other business stage. Do we have any other business?
Zero.
Okay, nothing from you, Rick. Well,
no, other than all the best, George, for the weekend, mate.
Absolutely. Thank Great you, cause boys. You're running for. You will smash it, mate. We'll be cheering for you loudly. And we will plug it on our socials. Right then. Good pod. Good win against Norwich. Bristol City on Saturday, 3 o'clock. Good times.
Up the City.
Fatter woo.
Podcast Network.